Good evening, this is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 792. It is February the 9th, 1987. There was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle this morning that Caspar Weinberger and the powers that be in the Pentagon are asking $35 billion for top-secret military spending. That's triple what Ronald Reagan started spending in 1981 when he became president. The purpose of the triple spending is to create weapons that you do not know about. They don't have to divulge the nature of these weapons. It is called a black budget, and Congress is supposed to have little or no knowledge of what the Pentagon is doing. It is a fact that the members of a Congress are elected through the 50 states to govern this country and not the Pentagon, and they want this huge amount, $35 billion, this year and for the following years for their secret budgets. Now, one of the projects they have, which I mentioned on the air about a year ago, are plans for World War IV. If you can believe anything this crazy, the Pentagon has elaborate plans for winning a month-long nuclear war and a subsequent war. They will have robots stalking radioactive battlegrounds, satellites orchestrating nuclear attacks, generals speeding along interstates in lead-lined trucks ordering warheads fired from faraway silos. This past weekend, there was the first international film festival on the Monterey Peninsula, and there were quite a few wonderful movies. In fact, I managed to see seven of them in 3 days. In 2 days, rather, if you believe it. No, it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 3 days, and I saw seven movies. The the one I want to share with you that is pertinent to World War III is a movie called A Half Life, and it was produced by Dennis O'Rourke. It was made in Australia, and it's a story of what happened when the United States dropped the hydrogen bomb on the Marshall Islands and the people there. And the winds were hitting the area of the islands, and they knew that the wind would go that way. And the American ships were there to evacuate the people, but left the people on the islands so that for subsequent years and up to the present time, and there's litigation going on now to defend these people and what happened to them, they had their flesh burned, their genes were altered, there were stillbirths, their hydrocephalics, children totally deformed that they carry around with and buggies or wagons with no bodily functions, cancers, and some were brought to the United States and tested within a short time period and then subsequently, and they keep following up the tests of these people. And this was done purposely on the Marshall Island, and it was a time period when Eisenhower was president and Richard Nixon was vice president, and they referred to those natives as savages. They dropped the hydrogen bomb to test what they called the savages. In the Doomsday Dictionary, which is a marvelous book, it was written in 1963 by Donald Kaplan and Armin Schwenner, there's a description of the hydrogen bomb under fission, fusion, fission bomb. And it says this is also the FFF bomb, is a hydrogen bomb, the H bomb, the fusion bomb, the super thermonuclear bomb, unveiled first by the United States March the 1st, 1954, and that's the time period this movie was about, that bombing, March the 1st, 1954, at Bikini in the Pacific. This is the bomb which finally appeased the technological appetite for truly large-yield weapons, thereby releasing the intellectual and financial resources for an earnest development of missile weapons. It is this bomb, combined with an intercontinental missile, that originally inspired the epithet, the absolute weapon. Well, to see the photographs of the people today, this was taken just recently, 1985 film, and the progress by which their bodies were burned and the children mutilated, and to realize how much farther we've gone and to experience that movie this weekend, and then to read the following morning, you know, the plans for $35 billion of secret bombs that we don't know anything about, shows how little we've learned and how pathetic we are in terms of relating to our world and what we are doing with our intellect and our money. And to make matters even worse or even sadder, I have to tell you, I went to that movie after seeing a morning film. It was a 10 o'clock film on Chile, which was very good, and I'll do more about that later on World Watchers. But up the street, a theater two blocks away, was the movie Half-Life, the title coming from the fact that everyone there that was victim to the hydrogen bomb testing, they were told they could expect a half-life, and the half that they were to live, of course, was miserable and sick, and they were eating radiated food and fish and so forth, and they weren't warned or told, and it wasn't removed from their presence. But I went over to that film with a friend. We had seen the Chilean movie, and there was one other couple in the theater. There were four people, 50% of them world watchers, my friend and myself, and two other people that were sitting about 10 rows behind us. Now, the film festival was very successful. There were black tie parties. There were balls Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, even Sunday night, where 600-700 people attended. A lot of movie and television stars. Ed Asner was up here. He wasn't at the Chilean movie. He wasn't at the Half-Life movie. He's a celebrity of a cause, such as Nicaragua, and then after his press conferences and so forth, he disappears. Maybe a ball or two, and he disappears. Many of the obviously more popular movies had 600 or 700 people attending. Four people attended that movie on Half-Life, on the hydrogen bomb. And taking in consideration that this very week the president is asking money for World War III, what makes you think that you won't be described as a savage, or we are considered, I know, as native population, people that could be wiped out? The Defense Department has their plans for the survivability of those people that they are arranging to survive, and then the number four war after that. Totally sick, the plans that they're doing. Totally sick, the fact that we give them the money and the power. That Pentagon, that faceless group of people headed by Fritz Kramer and his gang. And totally pathetic that more people didn't come out to see Half-Life. It's really, really a very sad day for this country. Or each day is, as it moves towards that War 4, with the intention of being a nuclear war, and no guarantee, of course, of where those bombs are going to fall, and or how easily it will be to die. Just assuming it'll fall on your head and you die, it doesn't always happen that easy. On the NBC Nightly News this past week, February the 5th, Tom Brokaw announced, and they had pictures of the Columbia cocaine kingpin, Carlos Leder Rivas, R-A-V-I-S. He uses the name Leder, you know, in Spanish, the use that middle name as their proper name, Carlos Leder Rivas, and he was brought in, the cocaine king from Colombia, described by Tom Brokaw quickly on television as a partner of Robert Vesco, or a former partner. It didn't say he isn't currently a partner, because the people they work with are the same cocaine connections and absolutely working together. But they mentioned Robert Vesco's name in conjunction with the arrest of Carlos Leder Rivas. Then on the CBS Evening News that came on 1 hour later, February the 5th, 1987, the news announced that Mr. Leder is an advocate of Adolf Hitler. He is, in fact, what you would call an outright Nazi. He prefers Hitler and Mussolini, and when he runs for political offices in Colombia, he has his picture, the pictures of the two men, and he stands between them. So it was much to my surprise to see stations such as NBC and CBS talking in the same breath, in the same evening, about Robert Vesco and Adolf Hitler and Columbia cocaine. Just last week on World Watchers, broadcast number 791, that was February the 2nd, 1987, 3 days before Leder Rivas was arrested, I began a section that was to go further into the cocaine traffic of South America, and very timely indeed, as I say, just days before the arrest. And I mentioned the chief counsel for the investigation of the Contragate for the Senator Inouye Committee, Arthur Liman, L-I-M-A-N. And I talked about him coming from the law office of Paul Weiss, Rifkin, Wharton & Garrison, and that Simon Rifkin set up that company, TCI, that later became Stanford Technology, that involved Otavon Bolschwang, the chief Nazi of the Western world. When Reinhard Gehlen went back to Germany to head up the BND, von Bolschwang traveled between Sacramento and Silicon Valley and Europe and South America as the liaison of Adolf Hitler's particular agents for after World War II, to continue that great Fourth Reich, get into the Fourth Reich. TCI had several subsidiaries, and I mentioned Advanced Information Systems and International Imaging System, and how IIS was taken over by Edwin Wilson and Albert Hakim from Iran, and General Secord and Thomas Kleins of the CIA and Theodore Shackley of the CIA. It became Stanford Technology. And I also mentioned that Mr. Lehman, however you pronounce it, the chief investigator for the Senate committee, is an attorney for Robert Vesco, which puts you exactly in the lap of the Nazis, and TCI and Stanford Technology, which I was saying last week, and also Willard Zucker, the Geneva businessman and business partner of Robert Vesco, who helped found CSF in 1971, runs the Swiss banks that are linked both to Iran and to Contragate between the Middle East and the, this is a large hunk of the drug traffic that goes through the hands of these people. And Zucker handles the CSF, the account of the Contra funding, drug money in Panama, Vesco's accounts, Albert Hakim, Theodore Shackley, General Secord, John Singlaub, and Thomas Kleins. And also this same law firm represents Henry Kissinger. And I was citing the conflict of interest of having this investigator with links to the Nazi Odessa Network, the Galen Network, the CIA, and to Robert Vesco, the Nazis and the drug running. I was talking about that briefly just on World Watchers last week on the last part of the program. And then 3 days later, they brought in the powers that be, brought in the cocaine kingpin, Carlos Letter Rivas, from Colombia. Now, why did they bring him in at this time? He has an interesting background, and I believe they had to bring him in just as Klaus Barbie was arrested to hush him up because he's so heavily involved in so many tentacles of the Contragate and directly involved, or as close as you can be, to those persons relating to Vice President George Bush, former CIA director, who has a big role in all those persons being netted and mentioned in these particular operations at this time. The L.A. Times, February the 6th, had an article about Mr. Letter Rivas, and also the Los Angeles Times, February the 5th and the 6th, and the San Jose Mercury, and most of your newspapers around the country had stories about him. And there's just a few things I want to cite about this gentleman who was arrested. He's involved with Colombia's massive cocaine cartel. They announced right away that arresting him won't stop the cocaine traffic from coming in. It will continue. But the purpose, of course, of arresting him at this time, I believe, is to shut him up and his links to the vice president and to the White House and to Ollie North and General John Singlaub and a network of generals and CIA intelligence agents linked directly to the cocaine traffic. He was indicted in Jacksonville, Florida in 1981 on cocaine importing charges. He was indicted again in Miami with eight others on 39 counts of narcotics-related offenses. He was closely associated with Pablo Escobar, Jorge is pronounced Ochoa, O-C-H-O-A, and Fabio O-C-H-O-A, Ochoa, who are brothers. They make up a group of four that run the Medellin cartel. That's Medellin, Colombia, they come from, M-E-D-E-L-L-I-N, Colombia. Escobar is worth about $1 billion. The Ochoa brothers are not far behind. And Letter Rivas, of course, is worth many, many millions, almost $1 billion. Now, Mr. George Hoche, O-C-H-O-A, and Mr. Escobar are defendants in that Christic Institute lawsuit on charges of murder, attempted murder, agents provocateurs, drug dealing, gun running of the Contras. So that while those two men have been swept into the suit that involves links directly to the National Security and the White House, they brought in the big boss because he is somebody to hush up if the others have to go to trial and keep him locked up because he absolutely knows too much. Later, Rivas' father was born in Germany. He has a German father who's an engineer. His mother is from Colombia. He was educated in New York and was arrested on drug charges by the age of 18. He returned to Colombia and made his first $1 million by the time he was 23 years old. probably with the help of the engineer father, the German engineer father. He bought an island in the Bahamas, which is in 1978, which is the Norman Cay. And if you remember, it during a time period, I'll have to look up the exact dates, in the Bahamas, Robert Vesco tried to influence the coup in Dominica to take over the island of Dominica. And that operation involved Nazis and Klan members, the highest level, from the United States and from up in Canada, and also John Connolly, who is on the board of Permandex, part of the Permandex operation, the international group that were behind political assassinations. And while Vesco didn't get his island that was to be a Nazi strong base for drug dealing and Nazism in Central America, Mr. Leder Rivas has his particular island. It has a 3,300-foot runway protected by radar, Doberman attack dogs, and so forth. He is dedicated to the philosophy of Adolf Hitler, and as I say, when he's in Colombia campaigning for his far-right political group, he stands between pictures of Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. He has his own private disco where he has parties, and the disco is dedicated to the late Beatle John Lennon. There's a statue of John Lennon in the disco, wearing a helmet, holding a guitar, stark naked with a bullet through the heart. This reminds me very much of the Manson family, where they were Nazis and drug dealers and used the title Helter Skelter, of one of the Beatles songs, to write with blood on the refrigerator of the LaBianca family when they were murdered. And then the chief prosecutor, Vincent Bugliosi, continued the identification of John Lennon with violence and the far right by writing the book Helter Skelter, which was about the Manson family but used the title of a Beatles song. The Medellin cartel group had offered $500,000 for the murder of drug enforcement agent Barry Seal. Barry Seal used to drive Jorge Oca around. He was his airplane pilot and flew him, and he was involved in delivering narcotics. And Oca, as I say, is a defendant in the Christic Institute lawsuit with people like Singlab, Secord, Thomas Kleins, Oliver North, Robert Owens. Direct links to the White House and the National Security Council. The narcotics traffic was used for Mr. Hull's ranch in Costa Rica, which formerly belonged to Robert Vesco, a partner of Mr. Leder Rivas, and also the client of the chief counsel for the Senate committee, and also for Mr. Zucker over in Switzerland, where the drug money is deposited and then transferred down to various banks in Panama and around the Caribbean. There's in many Swiss banks, there's seven at least, but there's many more, I'm sure, and this has been going on for a long time. The arrest of this gentleman is very important at this time, as I say, because of his links to persons very, very high up, and I don't think that they could afford to have him out free anymore. There have been a lot of murders in Colombia, murders of newspaper people, and the former prime minister was murdered just last month in Hungary in front of the embassy, the Colombian embassy, and before that, the other prime minister from Colombia was murdered. So that there have been lists of hundreds of murders that have taken place. There was an article in the Bay Guardian recently, December 1986 issue, with a cast of characters of the Contragate affair, and they've listed a group of defendants in that lawsuit filed by the Christic Institute. And among them, of course, are Thomas Kleins of the CIA, Pablo Escobar, the partner, the cocaine partner of Mr. Carlos Leder Rivas, who was just picked up. And this is why I think it's so important to pick him up. Albert Hakim, who's the link to Mr. Khashoggi, Adnan Khashoggi, and the late Hashemi, and the gun running and narcotics traffic that came out of Iran and now continues through Pakistan and Afghanistan and so forth. John Hull is listed in this cast of characters, and as I say, his property is the former property of Mr. Robert Vesco. He's very familiar with the Costa Rica connections. And another defendant in the Christic Institute is Jorge Ocha, the citizen of Colombia. He escaped from the authorities while waiting extradition to Florida, and he's out floating around. And Robert Owen, the president of ID Incorporated, the liaison to Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Tom Posey from Alabama. But the important thing is that the people involved and the partners with Mr. Carlos letter Rivas are involved and are defendants in a lawsuit placed in court in the United States regarding political assassinations, agent provocateurs, gun running, and narcotics traffic. And the big guy, the boss or overlord of all of them, even though he's very young, was just picked up this past week and brought to the United States. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times, December 21st, 1986, titled The Heart of the Scandal. And this goes into the Contra war in Nicaragua and how Congress is giving too much attention to the Iranian arms deals because it's an emotional issue, because they have the hostages, but that the allegations that Ronald Reagan made that Nicaragua was doing the drug dealing were not true. And this article goes on to say the DEA had no evidence to substantiate President Reagan's charges, which is tantamount to saying that Ronald Reagan is a source of disinformation and lies coming from the president himself. And this article about the heart of the scandal goes into a man named Adler Barry Seal, who set up cocaine shipments from Colombia to the United States. And then, of course, later he was murdered. I'll do more on that later. Seal was gunned down in New Orleans in a parking lot of February last year. And the gun that killed him is linked to the regular Contra group that do the assassinations. And there was a fee of $500,000 to kill Seal. And I guess these fellows really earned their money. They defined what they wanted, and they got it. The Heart of the Scandal article also refers to the contacts of President George Bush, and I want to update more on that, with Mr. Rodriguez, the well-known El Salvadorian agent, Felix Rodriguez, who's worked with the CIA going back to or maybe before the Bay of Pigs. George Bush met with Rodriguez three times in the White House or buildings nearby, and the meetings were attended by Oliver North and Mr. Kaur, the former or the current U.S. ambassador to El Salvador, Kaur, C-O-R-R. And Felix Rodriguez is the link to Klaus Barbie, to the murder of Che Guevara, to the Nazi Fascistas International. That includes Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Chile, and Argentina, the South American death squads. But George Bush is tied directly to and was meeting with these people. And this same article on the heart of the scandal goes into the Cuban airlines that were blown up and the fact that George Bush was CIA director at the time. And one of the persons responsible for blowing that up was Mr. Posada-Medina, and he's prominent in this. And this one article, The Heart of the Scandal, identifies people with those Nazi connections, the drug connections, the national security, and the CIA connections. And it is a very important article. And bringing in Mr. Rivas at this time is important because he links to the highest levels of the intelligence community, the Nazis, Robert Vesco, and so forth. Now, George Bush has had a very busy time covering up his bases, or somebody's covering them up for him. And while he looks pretty mealy-mouthed, you can't underestimate George Bush, the CIA director. And I just want to cite about 10 dates of events that have taken place recently, and I believe they're all related to George Bush's contacts that I mentioned earlier and other ones that are very, very pertinent. In March of 1985, Stephen Carr, one of the persons that was working with the cocaine traffickers, the assassins known as the Contras, he left 9 letters to release if he was murdered, and he was murdured just this fall in 1986 in Los Angeles. These letters, he said, would topple the government and implicate the National Security Council and the Reagan administration. February the 20th in 1986, Adler Barry Seal was murdered, the pilot for Mr. Jorge Osha, and a very important person whose testimony revealed that it was not the Nicaraguans doing the drug traffic, but the Contras. This was after $500,000 was offered to kill him by the team that are defendants in the Christic Institute trial, and also Mr. Rivas. July 22, 1986, Fabio Osha, Pablo Escobar, and Rafael Cardona were indicted for the Seal murder. Escobar, again, working with the NSC and the CIA links. August the 4th, 1986, 1 month later, Jesus Garcias, a cocaine trafficker, referred to Colombia leader, later Letter Rivas, his operation as George Bush's baby. This came from an article from the Miami Herald that Ted Rubenstein got for David Emery and myself, August the 4th, 1984, and it started to reveal those cocaine links to the highest level of our government. December 13th, 1986, the other wasn't 84, it was 1986. December 13th, 1986, Stephen Carr was murdered in Los Angeles. He played a very major role in this operation and felt in 1985 he would be killed. In the Los Angeles Police Department and Daryl Gates tried to cover it up as if it were a suicide, and it is directly linked to the same LAPD that worked with Squad 19, with Mullen Associates, with the Defense Department and the CIA trying to cover the murder of Stephen Carr. So two primary witnesses in this case were killed, one in February and one in December. December the 16th, 3 days later after Stephen Carr was murdered, CIA Director William Casey, linked to all of the above and more, and this doesn't even deal with the Iranian contacts and the drug connections, had a seizure in the CIA building where George Bush was once director, and from then on, Casey's brains were fried, and for all purposes, he's of no value to testify or fill in any pieces. February the 4th, Donald Arano, George Bush's associate, a boat manufacturer, was gunned down in Miami, similar to a drug kind of a hit. He created fast boats for quick getaways for the DEA, and they were also used by the drug dealers. So Casey went in for brain surgery in the middle of December. By February, Donald Arano, linked down to the narcotics agents and people in the Miami area, was gunned down. The very next day, February the 5th, 1987, Armando Fernandez Larios was put into custody of the Americans, and he's a very important connection to George Bush. He works for DINA, the secret police in Chile. He surfaced because he was afraid that he said he'd be killed by the left and the right, and he had the same fears that he would be murdered, exactly like Stephen Carr, and he's asked for federal protection and a new name. He helped canvass the home of Orlando Letelier in Washington, D.C. for Michael Townley, and that was a story of a murder written up in Murder on Embassy Row, and there are very good books on the murder of Letelier and Moffat, and of course, I've said for years that this is, and these books confirm all that, these murders are tied to the anti-Castro Cubans, to the CIA, to George Bush, who was CIA director at the time, to Michael Townley, who worked for the Central Intelligence Agency and was an agent in that liaison area of colonial dignidad with the highest Nazis between Chile and Argentina. This past week, February the 5th, Carlos Letter Rivas was brought in. What I'm trying to say in chronological order is that Carr was murdered. Just at the end of the year, Casey went in with a brain surgery. Donald Arno, this past week, was gunned down in Miami with links to Bush and the drug connections. The next day, Armando Fernandez Lario was in the custody of Americans, telling the role of particular agents, including Augusto Pinochet, going right up to the top of ordering the murder of Letelier. And then February the 5th, Carlos Letter Rivas is brought in from Colombia to Florida for trial. The cocaine king is safe in the hands of the United States. He has these connections that I mentioned to the Nazis, to Robert Vesco, to the same Swiss banks, the same airplanes that were drug dealing, to the CIA, to the international fascista. And the very next day after he was brought in, George Bush sent a letter, according to the Los Angeles Times, thanking the Colombian President Barco for capturing Letter Rivas and bringing him to the United States. It was an absolute necessity, I believe, that he had to be into the custody here where he would have as few interviews as possible and couldn't blackmail the persons running this country from a jail in Florida or wherever they decide to put him, Louisiana or Florida. He's wanted on various charges. Now, Stephen Carr, who died in December of 1986, as I say, left messages and 9 letters to his brother about his role with these various people of Fort Lauderdale, his role with Felix Rodriguez, the CIA agent who met with Vice Presidential Aide Donald Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, and all of these agents linked directly to George Bush and the office of George Bush and the Central Intelligence Agency. And Carr told federal authorities the major players in the arms supply network were involved in the shipment of drugs, including Tom Posey, the head of the U.S. mercenary group called Civilian Materiel Assistance, Robert Owen, a liaison to National Security Council advisor Oliver North, and Mr. Hull, who had the property in Costa Rica that formerly belonged to Robert Vesco. So that this past week, there's been a lot of actions in terms of gunning down a person in Miami. There was also another murder in Houston, Texas, drug-related. That's a home base of George Bush, and I'm not really sure how significant that is. But these people have links that go back many, many years, and the avenues of escape from the drug traffic, the Nazism, the fascism, and the assassinations and murders they've done is getting very, very interesting. It's hard for them to deny all the hard evidence that researchers have done through the years that is now being used by newspaper columnists and writers and computers that feed into this information to spread this story as quickly as possible. We'll take a one-minute break, and I want to share with you some of the most important articles on these drug traffic stories and not detail them now, but just highlight what they are and then share more of them with you next week.